You can't escape politics. It's in the air you breathe. But can you really have an impact on the vital cultural issues America and the church face today? Welcome to Biblical Wisdom in a Political World, a fresh, bold, thought-provoking discussion about ways to be in the world, but not of it. Here's your Biblical Wisdom team, authors David Dobbinsbeck and Frank Kaser.
It is so great to be back in studio with these gentlemen. I'm talking about David Dobbinsbeck and Frank Kaser. You've heard about legendary Southern California talk show host Dennis Prager talking about David's book, which is called The Shocking Disconnect. Both these guys are authors. We'll tell you more about it, but we're taking a look at public policy and how it affects you and your life as a Christian today. David, in chapter 5 of your book, you open with a brief recounting of a really interesting discussion you had on your web to take Lake Tahoe. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was some years back, but we were headed up for a weekend of just fun and getting together some guys. We'd been in a men's Bible study group for a while together, but hadn't seen each other for about 10 years. So we were kind of doing a bit of a reunion. And on the way up, we're chatting about a bunch of things. Now, there were two attorneys in that group, and we were chatting about some political issue at the time. I don't know what it was. Could have been abortion, could have been some other matter that was in the news in those days. And I was waxing eloquent about how I felt about some things. And then this attorney speaks up and says, well, you know, we can't legislate morality. And it kind of caught me off guard. And I didn't know what to say. So the conversation just shifted to sports or some other kind of things. But that never left my mind. And I wanted to be more prepared to discuss that should it ever come up again. And I did talk about that some in my book, because if you look at, as Frank was saying in a previous program, virtually every issue one might look at, especially the biggies, abortion, sexual issues, marriage, and that kind of thing, the Bible speaks very clearly. I mean, just look at thou shalt not steal. Do we or do we not have laws about theft of property, theft of intellectual property? Yes, we do. How about killing or murder or lying, slander? There's all kinds of things that you see showing up in our laws that are traced back to the Ten Commandments or other places in Scripture. So we really do legislate morality. Now, we can't specifically stop individual people's behavior in certain cases, but we certainly can create laws that affect behavior, causing people to think twice.
You have to be pretty intelligent to become a lawyer, and that's just one of those phrases that people throw out there, right? You can't legislate morality. So, Frank, any thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting term. One thing that the other side, from where we stand value-wise, they seem to have a real gift to put into slogans something that's short, crisp, and to the point, and it's hard to confront because it takes some explanation to confront it, and I think this is one of them. Yeah, we do legislate morality all the time. A matter of fact, in Romans 13, when you get back into the role of government, and it's to punish an evildoer, the question comes up, what is an evildoer? And we as citizens have an opportunity to help define for this nation and for the laws of this nation what is evil that needs to be punished or corrected or discouraged, if you will. And that is, those are moral issues. Those are moral demands on a society. So when we bow out of that and we remove ourselves from that process, then we shouldn't be surprised or shocked that the definition of what's bad or evil or what's criminal may go against what we really believe it should be. As a matter of fact, we may eventually become illegal or yeah, immoral by those definitions. So we need to be engaged in order to help legislate what is a moral basis for a nation to survive and to be blessed.
Very good. We're talking to Frank Kaser and David Dobbinsbeck in studio today. I'm Tom Levine. It seems that the secular world where we live today has convinced a lot of Americans, including a number of Christians and church leaders, that politics and religion just don't mix. And from a scriptural standpoint, why is that statement untrue?
I would go to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 first. For all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God is thoroughly equipped for what? Every good work. So unless we're willing to say that anything that has the P name in front of it, the political or politics name in front of it, is not a good work, then I'd say it applies. A salt and light mandate, which will come up in our conversations probably over and over again. What does the salt and light mean? Are we to be salt and light in every legitimate endeavor? And politics, for some reason, is never in a legitimate endeavor. I don't think so. It's what we do in those political realms. It can be redeemed as an institution or as a governance aspect, just like any other business, if you will, that we're faced with. So those principles apply to those realms just like any other realm, and we ignore it at our peril.
I think another aspect gets back to sort of societal, appropriateness, shall we say, not necessarily what Scripture teaches, but what society in general says, and that's, in polite settings, don't bring up politics and religion. You know, if you're at a party or some gathering, it's kind of like, foreboding. You just don't do it. And yet, if we carry that to an extreme and never bring those two together and talk about how they integrate or should be integrated, then we're not following, like Frank says, the mandates of Scripture, certainly not being salt and light, because we'll be hiding behind a social moray that really isn't biblical.
For our listeners today, I didn't just pull these guys off the street. David's a pastor. You guys are both authors. Frank has been an elder in a church for 29 years. What would you like to communicate and make sure, if you were talking to an assembled group of pastors today in a huge auditorium, what would you tell them that they need to know?
Well, I would start by saying basically your job is to equip the sheep. And you do that in a variety of ways. You honor the Lord in doing that by using God's word. And you help men and women to be godly spouses, to be godly parents, to be godly in whatever work endeavor or career they pursue, to have good character and values, all of these things to help them to be a source of good in society, as well as for them, for the good of themselves and their family. So every endeavor that they do, we equip them. Why would we ever isolate out the political realm and refuse to have any ministries associated with that specific niche of our lives, particularly when government, of all things, has such a massive impact on our lives, on our families, on our parental authority, on whether our churches meet for worship during a pandemic or not. It goes on and on and on. That entity has more impact on us than virtually any other aspect of the nation that we live in. So why do we ignore that? Why don't we minister? Why don't we shepherd a ministry that helps be that proper salt and light, just like we shepherd every other ministry? Just add it to the quiver of arrows that we have.
I was looking recently at the phrase "watchman on the wall," which in various iterations you see in Ezekiel, in Jeremiah. The idea being, that a pastor, one of his roles in caring for the flock and feeding the flock is also to protect the flock from heresy from within the church or from without. And I think most pastors are fairly well attuned to scriptural or theological heresy or error or imbalance, let's say. And yet so often when it comes to proclaiming a thus saith the Lord, as in God is our creator, he created us, male and female, very clear in Scripture, but yet often pastors, because it's a political issue, don't take that watchman on the wall role, I think, as clearly as they should and could by blending, by integrating, let's say, what I call the cultural commission issues, which often are government-related, and the kingdom of God issues, evangelizing, making disciples, all of which are extremely important. Seems to me that those two commissions will be far more effective when blended and integrated together rather than one being seen as, well, we only do this, but we don't do this, kind of like the ugly stepchild. I just think that's a huge mistake, and pastors need to be those watchmen on the wall.
That's so good, and watching, you can either just sit and watch something happen, or watching can be proactive, right? I mean,
Exactly.
A wise man, a wise woman sees danger ahead and takes heed.
Exactly.
And so that's really important.
Very much so.
Now, you mentioned events, and in our past broadcast, you mentioned an event you did. If somebody said, hey, I like what you guys are talking about, I think we could possibly have an event at our church. Are you available and willing to do events at churches?
Very much so. Very much so. Any way I can be of help. I'm retired now, so I have more freedom of time, but would be more than happy to talk on the phone, interact by email, by WebEx, or help at a church in some way, a seminar, like Frank said earlier, an adult Sunday school class, perhaps. Any way I can be of help, I'd be more than happy to do so.
I'd fall in the same category. Yeah, I love to talk to Christians around the county, and actually much broader than that. We all face the same problems. This is not a new issue that all of a sudden has kind of reared its head. What Christians' role in politics specifically is has been addressed a variety of ways, and I think we need to, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, deal with this as Christians. And doing it within a church environment is wonderful, particularly when you can interact back and forth, ask questions, mm-hmm. and develop themes and sharpen each other on this. There's no silver bullet that's going to resolve all these issues. So it takes a mature group of believers to really be matured by the Word of God first, to be able to address a lot of the issues we face as a nation, but to do it together. Do it with the unity that only the Lord can provide through His Holy Spirit. That's what we should strive for, and I think we do that by working that out. And it takes time. So yeah, I'm available, just like David is, to talk to whatever group and on an issue that comes up that's of particular interest to them.
And I think, Frank, you and I would be willing to come together if they wanted both of us at the same
time. Yeah, that's a little bit of a stretch, but I think we can handle that.
Yeah, that's good. We're talking to Frank Kaser. And Frank, you had a column, a longtime Christian newspaper column. When was that and where was that?
Well, there's been several. One was Good News, Etc. It was
Rick and Colleen Monroe, my good friends.
Yep. Kaser's Corner, I believe it was. And it was, I did one for the Washington Times Online. A matter of fact, for several years, they're called Biblical Politics, which combined biblical and politics in the same title, and it was kind of a difficult to get them to actually approve that and put it into the political portion of their publication as opposed to the theological one.
Right.
So, yeah, and there's been a couple other publications, Christian Examiner also, so they've been very gracious in the past about letting me have articles when they were still around. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm holding books from both these gentlemen. Frank Kaser has written 65 Wisdom Principles for Christian Political Activists and Christian Fratricide. That title really, that's a brilliant title. Why Christians Continue to be Divided Politically, from Frank S. Kaser, K-A-C-E-R. And David Dobenspeck's book, The Shocking Disconnect, Why Christians Fail to Impact Culture and Politics and How to Make a Comeback. And David, by the way, is a alumni of KPRZ and KCBQ, a member of our team. And that's how we got to know each other back when the earth was still cooling.
Yes, yes, those were good days.
That's right. So we're going to take a quick break, a quick pause for the cause, and be back with more after this.
Dennis Prager here with a question and an invitation. If you could take a more effective role in turning America back to God, would you do it? So I invite you to discover The Shocking Disconnect, the new book by author David Dobenspeck. Why are we failing to impact our culture and political system? Michelle Bachman says this book is much needed, with calls to effective action. If you want to be salt and light, Dr. Jim Garlow calls David Dobenspeck a fresh, bold, thought-provoking voice. David is a former member of our own broadcast family, Salem Media Group. The great news is you and I can really make a comeback. Find out how. Get your copy of The Shocking Disconnect, the new book from author David Dobenspeck, available at Amazon Books and at shockingdisconnect.com.
Get your copy of The Shocking Disconnect by David Dobenspeck, that's Dobenspeck, on Amazon Books or at shockingdisconnect.com.
Thank you for joining us for this radio special today. My name is Tom Levine, and you know, biblical truth, you've said at various times, it needs to be understood in its proper context. That's what we've been talking about. And we have to be careful how we apply it to current events, issues, government decisions. And what are some helpful rules of thumb in this regard? How do we avoid misappropriating truth and applying it in the wrong ways?
Go ahead, Frank.
Well, one is to first immerse yourself in God's word so you know it as best as you can. And when you do that, you find that whenever you find a principle or something you think applies, you have the corpus of the rest of God's word to determine whether it's consistent with it or not. And we have to be really careful we take a verse out of context in any application and apply it to something new. And I've found it's really tempting to do that, to come up with a hypothesis about what we think on a particular issue and then find a verse that kind of resonates with that. That's where you really need to be grounded in God's word and have others that you can talk to about it to make sure that you don't stray off the path too far.
Yeah. What I do too is I learned this, I began to be exposed to it and have learned it since, I think, in a class on discipleship in graduate school. But the professor really kind of forced us not only to look at a text of Scripture in its context, like Frank said, that's so important, but then to work it through to implications for broader connection to Scripture, but also then how does it begin to impact our lives, our everyday lives? And then we had to take it from implications then to specific application. And he kind of forced us as part of the class to say, show me where that's going to be on your schedule. You know, I want to see it show up in your calendar, you know, and that was a really good exercise because it helped us begin to connect the dots. Because so often we know the Scripture and what it teaches, but then we have all these things happening out here in the world, particularly in our case, our discussion focused the political world. But it takes some effort to sometimes connect those and see where there are common points. So I like to talk about connecting the dots. And again, that's where I think the role of a pastor teacher is understanding what's happening in the world, in government, and politics, at least well enough to see when Scripture directly speaks to those and then not be afraid to speak.
You know, that's interesting because the Bible, the Scriptures, date back thousands of years. And so just the cultural relevance of it today is, I think, a testimony to the miraculous nature of God's holy word. Frank, you had one of your chapters in your book was called, "For Every Moral Issue, There's a Biblical Remedy." What did you mean? And do you have an example or two for me?
Yes. I firmly believe that. I have yet to find an issue of some kind that's of significance. I'm not talking about some small little thing that we deal with.
Potholes.
Potholes. Well, even then, there's a moral issue as to, you know, this particular as an example, there's a moral issue as to which neighborhoods get serviced first relative to the improvement of their streets and which ones are ignored. Which one has more political clout? Which ones do not? Those are moral decisions with a payoff relative to the political environment. So, yeah, I mean.
That's a really good point. And that's what we see in San Diego County. Go
ahead. Yeah, exactly. Every time. Just driving here, as a matter of fact, I had to avoid some. But I have yet to find an issue of any significance at all that the Bible doesn't provide wisdom or insight into addressing to help us equip to be better understand what the issue is, what the foundational problems are with an issue, and how to remedy them. And I basically challenge anybody on that. I mean, we serve an almighty God who does not change. He's not a different God now than he was 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years ago. He's the same God. He created us. He knows us. As Ecclesiastes says, nothing's new under the sun. It's the same issues around us. They may manifest in technology a little bit differently, but it's the same moral issues. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he understands us, he knows what's best for us, and he gives us the source of knowledge that we can better, that we can apply to the issues of the day. And at our peril again, we ignore it. Mm-hmm. So it's there. We have to be wise. That's one aspect of it. We have to be wise in how we apply it. That's where it takes real study, seeking other counsel, talking to other people, refining each other, but using the wisdom that God applies, which we can ask for. James 1, and he will grant it in order to apply God's truths correctly.
Mm, so good. I would love to dive deeper into that topic, but I want to move on just for the interest of today's broadcast. So what degree is it possible to have peaceful coexistence with darkness in the political realm and the cultural realm? Can you expect non-believers to act like believers? I mean, how does this live itself out in political life today?
Well, no, we can't. We can't expect non-believers who are not versed in the Word of God, nor are they, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit. So we can't expect them to act like we would want them to, or automatically agree with us just because we may have a nice sounding, loving statement or advocacy for something. So we just have to accept that we live in that world of light and darkness, of good and evil. But we should not be intimidated by that fact. We need to be willing to, as we've talked about, dig into the Word of God, pray like crazy, and then speak into the culture as God gives us opportunities. You know, some of us have more direct contact with government. Some are in the public education system. Mm-hmm. Some may be in the arts, in Hollywood, or whatever. Wherever God has placed us, we have a right and an obligation to speak, and yet need to do so in a way that's cogent, respectful, and understanding that many others are coming from a totally different worldview and have to expect some blowback, but seek to try to find enough common ground where at least we can try to dialogue. May not happen, but we try.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, Romans 2 talks about everybody is instilled with a conscience.
Yes.
And if we understand that, we can address that. We can do it with reasoning. Isaiah says, you know, the Lord said, you know, come, let's reason together. Well, there's a reason why he says that, and that is because we have thinking faculties. So when we take the emotion out of something, it helps tremendously. If we seek to understand who we're talking to and to show that they have value to us, then we can go a long ways in starting to communicate maybe facts, maybe reasoning, maybe the data that can be, it's out there to show that when you go down a certain broad path, there's mm-hmm. consequences to that. People will suffer. We are impacted by that. And the culture around us, the society around us, is impacted negatively with a lot of these things that are going on that are contrary to what God's Word says is the proper path to be blessed. So there's ways of doing it without preaching the gospel to them. You know, and once we start to do that, or we even say, well, the Bible says, sometimes that's a trigger for a person to immediately turn off. Mm-hmm. So just reason, treat them with value, with respect, appeal to conscience, and appeal to the data that's all around us that substantiates where we come from and what's best for everybody.
Example, of course, is Paul in Athens speaking to the folks on the Areopagus who love to hear the latest philosophies, and he was able to use some of their own poets to make a connection with them, and yet still was able to get to the subject of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, very good. I wish we could continue. This is the fastest half hour of my life when we're sitting down together talking about these issues. So, Frank, if someone wanted to get a copy of one or both of your books, Christian Fratricide, Why Christians Continue to Be Divided Politically, and 65 Wisdom Principles for Christian Political Activists. By the way, which is the newer of the two books?
The 65 Wisdom Principles is the newest one.
How could people get copies of these?
It's easy enough to go on Amazon and just use portions even of the titles, and it'll pop up. Yeah.
Okay, good. And David, same with your book, The Shocking Disconnect. When did you write it, and how can people get a copy of it?
We published the book last November. My loving wife did all the graphic design on it, so I'll give her some props here. But the easiest way is to go to my website, shockingdisconnect.com, and there'll be a direct link to the Amazon site from there.
Very good. Well, we want to thank you all for listening. And by the way, if someone said, I like what these guys are saying, I'd like to hear more. Again, give the website one more time. And if people can connect and possibly have you come and speak at their church, how would they do that?
Well, go to shockingdisconnect.com. The fifth tab on my website says contact, and there people can write me an email and contact me about speaking, about sharing, equipping, whatever I can do to help.
Well, I think what you're doing is terrific, and thank you so much for being guests here on KPRZ and KCBQ. We appreciate you more than you know. We've been talking to Frank Kacer, and that's K-A-C-E-R again, and Doctor, and David Dobinspeck, who, you know, I wouldn't let you do any medical procedures on me, but you're intelligent enough to be a doctor. David and I go way back from his days as an employee staff member of our radio stations. Thank you both for being here. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Learn more about how to make your impact with a balanced biblical worldview online at shockingdisconnect.com. That's shockingdisconnect.com. This is Biblical Wisdom in a Political World with local authors Frank Kacer and David Dobinspeck. Thanks for listening.